This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is North Carolina Republican Congresswoman Renee Elmers. She's a freshman representing the Tar Heel State's 2nd Congressional District. She's also a member of the House Small Business Committee and a co-sponsor of the Cut, Cap, and Balance Act, which should be voted on the House floor on Tuesday. It also is the subject of a veto threat from the White House, saying it's not a serious effort to deal with the nation's debt woes. And Congresswoman, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, I'm very happy to be with you talking about this issue. You know, when I hear that quote, it just makes me cringe. I mean, how much more serious can you be? And yet our president has not brought anything to the table whatsoever, even though the Republican leadership has brought to them a plan after plan after plan. All he's talked about is raising taxes.
What would cut, cap, and balance do?
It puts spending cuts in place for the budget year of 2012. It largely coincides with the Ryan plan. What it does is it cuts $111 billion out of the budget. It puts in place also some caps, which will be ratcheted down over the years to 2021 being at spending can't be more than 20% of GDP, which is historically where it's been in the past. We're at about 23% of GDP now, and it only shows us going up if we don't do something. And then, of course, the fact that we would put a balanced budget amendment in place, and we would vote on it, and it would have to pass the House and the Senate before we could vote on a debt ceiling increase. And, you know, to think that this isn't serious is just astonishing to me.
Does the plan specifically lay out where those $111 billion in cuts would come from?
Well, basically, it's discretionary spending. It would not touch Medicare. It would not touch Social Security. It's a great plan. It would not harm our veterans. You know, there's just so much this plan would do. Now, there are still some things that you know, need to be targeted and worked out. But the fact that we would be securing our seniors' future and working from that standpoint, you know, which is, of course, what was the first thing the president did? He came out the other, about a week ago and said, hey, Social Security payments are going to have to be, you know, there is a good chance that we might not be able to make Social Security payments. Now, from the president of the United States, the leader of the free world coming out and making a statement like that, unbelievable. And, you know, but unfortunately, this is what we're dealing with. And again, our Republican leadership going to the White House day after day after day, hours upon hours of negotiations with someone who just simply will not negotiate.
Let's talk about a couple more aspects of this, I guess one from one side of the aisle and one from the other. First of all, from, I guess, probably the more conservative side of the aisle is when you mentioned where the cuts would be coming from, mm-hmm. A lot of folks might say, well, a lot of the money that is contributing to our debt is coming from these entitlement programs, and obviously sure. We don't want to scrap them, but they need to be addressed. Mm-hmm. Is that dealt with in the plan or somewhere down the road? How does that work?
Absolutely. Down the road, we will deal with it. And, of course, just like in the Ryan plan, basically there aren't any changes that are made to Medicare, you know, for a 10-year period. I mean, we understand that those individuals, our seniors that are receiving the benefit now and into the future, you know, really need to have that protected because, you know, this is what they've paid into the system their entire lives. They deserve to get that benefit back. But if we can at the same time be decreasing the amount of debt and spending that we're doing, you know, reaching out to those other areas of discretionary spending, then we can be able to continue to afford it. But it's a matter of looking at it from a very realistic perspective and saying, hey, you know, we want this to go forward. We're trying to save it from what the Democrats put in place with Obamacare. With Obamacare, the Democrats that voted on Obamacare basically cut $500 billion out of Medicare and put a 15-person panel in place, which you may have already know is called IPAB, or the Independent Payment Advisory Board, which basically will be making the choices about who will receive Medicare benefits, meaning that whose physicians will be paid for which treatments that will be given. That's a scary thought. And you know, I've been trying my best to make sure that people understand that that's the reason the Democrats haven't come out with an alternative plan to Medicare like we addressed in the Ryan budget. It's because what they put forward was in Obamacare, and that's what they're sticking to.
We're talking with North Carolina Republican Congresswoman Renee Elmers. And Congresswoman, you mentioned the third part of that plan, the cut, cap, and balance, is the balanced budget amendment. Republicans, of course, are saying this is pretty straightforward. We want to make sure that we're not spending more than we're taking in, just like just about every state has to do, like every family has to do, every business has to do. The ranking Democrat on the House Budget Committee, Chris Van Hollen, over the weekend said they're not proposing a clean, balanced budget amendment. What they are proposing is to manipulate the Constitution and use it to impose the Republican budget plan. How would you respond to that, and what exactly does the amendment call for?
Well, you know, the thing of it is across the country, folks have said over and over again, we have got to have something put in place that will keep the president and Washington from spending money needlessly. It's just a spending spree here, you know, with no end in sight. We have to have something put in place, an amendment to the Constitution, which says, look, you just simply cannot spend money you don't have. You've got to have protections put in place. And that's what the balanced budget amendment does. Basically, it says you cannot spend money. You know, we're borrowing 42 cents of every federal dollar that we're spending here in Washington is borrowed. China owns 25% of our debt. And then it's basically laid out between a number of other countries. We just simply can't continue to do that. Our households can't do that. Our businesses can't do that. And Washington shouldn't be able to do that as well.
Congresswoman, you represent North Carolina's 2nd Congressional District, a swing district if there ever was one. It was a very tight race last year, which you were able to win against a longtime Democratic incumbent. So when this issue comes up to the constituents in your district, you're really getting a good sample of America here, not a district that leans dramatically one way or the other. What are you hearing when you go home?
Well, I'll tell you, the folks that I'm talking with are very much are against any increase in the debt limit and are very much in favor of a balanced budget amendment. And what I will say to that is we will raise the debt ceiling if we have to, if these essential pieces are put in place, but it's not going to be for future spending. The reason that we will have to raise it is simply because we've gotten the credit card statement, and it's going to be paying the debt that's already been accumulated, and therefore not harming anyone, not harming our seniors, not harming our veterans. So we're looking at this as a standpoint of let's cut back on the spending, let's put those caps in place, let's make sure that, you know, securely that we're not going to be able to do this in the future, and then give us this little bit of a leaning room so that we can work through this, so that we can make sure everybody's taken care of and then not do it in the future. I mean, we just simply cannot continue to do this. And that's basically what I'm telling folks. And I know it's a hard message to hear because it's very strong and it's very serious, but it's one that we're going to have to make that decision. And, hey, you know, the president is going to be the ultimate decider of this. If he's going to do things like veto, cut, cap, and balance, then he's already setting in place potential difficulties with our whole country and our finance system.
Very interesting. We'll be watching not only as the House debates this tomorrow, the president's reaction, as well as what will happen in the Senate and beyond as this gets closer and closer to August 2nd. Congresswoman, a great pleasure to have you with us. We look forward to the next time.
Well, good to talk with you, and I look forward to it as well. Thank you.
Thank you so much. North Carolina Republican Congresswoman Renee Elmers, freshman from the Tar Heel State's 2nd Congressional District, member of the House Small Business Committee, and co-sponsor of the Cut, Cap, and Balance Resolution, headed to the House floor on Tuesday. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.